Pastor Kerry Willis, and it's with great joy that I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis, and we're so glad that you've joined us. We pray that today's program of Front Porch Talks will be a half hour of hope for your life.
That certainly is our goal. And we hope that today your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength will be lifted, that this will be a day of encouragement for you. And we're going to delve into the Word of God, and we're going to talk about the Word of God. And I think it's going to be a very practical day for us to learn how to pray, maybe at a different level. I was told years ago that when you don't know what to pray, pray the Psalms. Now, the Psalms is a book of the Old Testament. It was written by David for the most part. He didn't write every psalm, but many of the psalms were written by King David, who was the shepherd boy, who became the royal monarch, the king of Israel, the overseer of God's people. And David had the heart of a worshiper. He also had a really real relationship with God. Yes, a really real relationship. The way that he talks to God, you can tell that they are friends. Not only is God his God, but David sees God as his friend. David was called the man after God's own heart. And when you read the Psalms, you begin to figure out why he wore that title. So often I go to the Psalms and I just saturate there, and I read many of the phrases found in the Psalms, which are themselves often prayers, cries out to God. And today I want us to look at a few of the Psalms and kind of share what it is I'm trying to get at. It's really hard to explain, but I think you'll understand it by the conclusion of this program today. The day prior to our recording this broadcast, I had time to rest and be alone with the Word of God. If you've been keeping up with Front Porch Talks, you know that my wife and I are in the middle of a move. We're just moving across town about 7 miles. We're changing our zip code by one digit from 22801 to 22802. It is sort of a downsizing in our life that we sense that God invited us into. He didn't insist that we downsize. It was more like an invitation, and as we consider the invitation, it turned into celebration, honestly, in our hearts. But we have been in transition, and you know transition has a lot of upheaval and a lot of details you have to take care of, and it can bring weariness of body, mind, soul, and strength. But anyway, yesterday, I was able to finally get to a place of rest, and we've been staying with our son, Grayson. He's opened up his guest room and allowed us in, and even let us bring our baby, I call her, our Tree and Walker Coonhound, Miss Lucy. She's just over a year old, weighs 48 pounds, full of life, just a loving, loving creature. But anyway, we're living with Grayson for a few weeks as we record today. And yesterday, I was able to kind of pull the plug on all the activity, kind of tell the transition to take a break. And I got the Word of God open to the Psalms, and I spent hours actually reading the Psalms, recording notes in the margin of my Bible, and really just praying the Psalms. So what I want to do today during this particular broadcast is I want to share with you some of the prayers that came from my own heart as I read the Psalms. And I think they'll help you, and you'll see what I'm talking about when I say the Psalms are not just for reading. The Psalms of the Old Testament are for praying. First of all, I was in Psalm 4, and I came across this line in Psalm 4 and verse 3. The Lord will answer when I call to Him. What a confident statement that we have here, this Psalm of David. It's really a song to be accompanied by stringed instruments, and he makes this declaration: the Lord will answer when I call to Him. And right out beside that, I prayed these four words for my own life: God hears, God cares. You know, as I could hear David proclaiming, "The Lord will answer when I call to him," it seemed like the echo of my own soul said, "Amen. Let it be, David. Surely this is true." And I wrote, "God hears, God cares." And so he goes on in the fifth psalm. I picked up another line. It said, "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly." So there's this idea that at times we find ourselves waiting on the Lord. But David said, "When I wait, I will wait with expectation." And so that also strengthened my own heart as I was considering the Psalms of David. Another line in Psalm 5 that really spoke to me was, "Make your way plain for me to follow." Make your way plain for me to follow, Lord. Let me not take the wrong turn. In other words, put the light on the path and let me see clearly where you are leading me. And as I read that line, I couldn't help but think of the words of Jesus in John 14 and verse 6, where he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so when David said, "Make your way plain for me to follow," surely Father God has made his way plain by giving his Son to us, and his Son is our way forward, our way onward, our way upward. I next came to Psalm chapter 6, and I read these words from the psalmist, "Have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak." And I wrote these words as my own prayer on the page in my Bible, "Have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak, but you are strong." Now, Grayson, as you've heard me comment on some of these lines in the Psalms, perhaps there's something in your mind that has transpired. Perhaps it would have to do with the first one I shared in Psalm 4, "The Lord will answer when I call to him." Maybe it would have something to do with the lines I shared in Psalm 5. "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly." Or maybe the line in Psalm 5 and verse 8, "Make your way plain for me to follow." Or even this last line that I shared in Psalm 6, verse 2, "Have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak."
Well, I see a kind of a thread going as he's asking the Lord these requests, like, "Make your way clear to me," or "Have mercy on me," or "Make your path straight for me." He's letting the Lord know that he needs him, that he can't do it on his own, and that he is helpless without the Lord. And different versions are a little different. Either he's, you know, saying that the Lord will answer him, or he's asking the Lord to answer him or to do these things. But either way, we know that God hears us when we call out to him in sincerity and when we are focused on what he wants for us.
So I think Grayson's picking up on exactly what I was saying at the beginning of the broadcast, that David had this really personal relationship with God. He approached him in a very real kind of way, and he had this confidence, this expectation, this anticipation that when he cried out to God, called out to God, spoke to God, that there was a God listening on the other end of his words. And this has been giving me confidence even in this last 24 hours or so as I've been praying the Psalms. I then went to Psalm 9, and there was a line there that really spoke to me. It's in verse 10. "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you." And I just wrote out in the side of the page here, "For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you." I wanted to echo what David said. And I've had this deep thought in my mind for some time now, where when people are going through a difficult situation, I will say to them, "God will not abandon you." And I guess as I was studying the word, I was also realizing that's true for Carrie as well. God will not abandon me as long as I search for him. So Grayson, when you think about searching for the Lord and you think about him giving us this guarantee that if we search for him, seek for him with all of our heart, we will find him. What kind of confidence might that give you about praying your prayers to the God of David?
Well, it lets us know that God wants us to seek him and to search for him and even to trust him, and he will not let us down, and we will certainly find him when we search and seek for him, and when we trust him, he's trustworthy.
Exactly. And he loves a seeking heart. I mean, God is seeking who is seeking. He is searching for those who are searching for him. It's kind of like when you're looking for each other. I don't know if you ever got lost as a child, but when a child gets lost in a crowd, the parent is searching for the child and the child is searching for the parent. And I see that illustration when I read the Psalms of David, that he is always seeking God and God is seeking David. And we see that for our own lives. It's a beautiful, beautiful filter that we can view our own relationship with God through as we hear the Psalms of David, read the Psalms of David, but also pray the Psalms of David as our own. Also in Psalm 9, I come against verse 11, which really spoke to me in a personal way. It says, "Sing praises to the Lord who reigns in Jerusalem. Tell the world about his unforgettable deeds." Now, why did this speak to me so personally? Well, it's back in the year 2000. My dad was still living, and he was a fisherman, a commercial fisherman, net fisherman, a trawler, a shrimp trawler. And one day in the month of July in the year 2000, my dad's boat burned at the dock. And it was a really definite loss for our family. My dad's livelihood just went literally up in flames. And all that was left was the hull of the boat. The cabin, the decking, the nets, the motor, everything destroyed. And so my daddy would have to go on to rebuild his boat. And God worked in miraculous ways to help that happen. And my dad would rebuild his boat and have his boat for like another dozen years before he would go on to be with the Lord. So it was a miracle story. But on that day that my dad's boat burned, I came to the home place in North Carolina to console Dad and to be with him in this grief. And he said something to me that I will never, ever forget. He said, "Kerry, I want you to know what I have told the Lord today." See, my dad was very numb. It wasn't especially a spiritual feeling day. It felt almost like God was silent. And my dad said these words to me. He said, "Kerry, I told God in prayer, even if I never feel your presence again, I'm going to tell someone every day how great you are." And so when I read this psalm, Psalm 9 and verse 11, the last line, David says, "Tell the world about his unforgettable deeds." And so, Grayson, I think that regardless of how difficult our life is, we know that God is good. Yes, life is often hard, but God is always good. So when you think about that, what might come to your mind about testifying and witnessing about how good our God really is?
Well, as Christians, we should want to proclaim his goodness. We shouldn't want to keep his goodness to ourselves. The Bible talks about, you know, what good is a light if it's kept under a bowl, but it needs to be put on a hill where it can shine to all the people and shine to all the nation and all the world, as it says in this verse, to proclaim his goodness. So certainly God desires for us to share his goodness to those around us, particularly to those who don't know him, and not keep it to ourselves.
That's right. In Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." And so we have that power of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter what our circumstances are like, doesn't matter what our situation is, we still know that God is good. Now, taking that story of my dad a little farther down the road of his life, actually he's coming up to his death of cancer, and he would pass the line of worlds and be with Jesus forever. So he's doing fine now, but he had a little bit of a difficult path there at the end. And I remember him saying to me, "I am not offended in the way Jesus chooses to do things in my life." And he would continue to talk about how good Jesus was. As a matter of fact, on his deathbed, my dad sang a lot. And one of the songs that he loved to sing was, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name." And so he continued, even going through the throes of cancer, which is no picnic. It's not a wonderful thing to experience. But my dad found beauty in the midst of his burden. And he continued to tell about the good deeds, or as David said, the unforgettable deeds of God. This is praying the Psalms, my friend. It becomes very real. It becomes very relevant, very powerful. It can bring peace to us as we echo the words of the psalmist to the same God that they were prayed to originally. I then went on to read a little bit farther. I was in Psalm 12, and verse 1 begins with these words, "Help, O Lord, for the ungodly are fast disappearing. The faithful have vanished from the earth." And out beside that on my page in my Bible, I just wrote, "Lord forbid, do not take your Holy Spirit or your holy people from us." You know, in the world we live in today, it's easy to see that godliness appears to be disappearing and faithful people seem to be vanishing. And it seems that evil is having its way. But we need to pray into that, pray against that. It goes on to say in verse 8, "Even though the wicked strut about and evil is praised throughout the land, therefore, Lord, we know you will protect the oppressed." And so we know that even though our world may be in a sad situation, sad scenarios everywhere, the reality is that evil seems to be overtaking the world. What we can know is that we can still praise God throughout the land and that his goodness is always better than the world's evilness. And we need to keep that in our heart. And the psalmist reminds us of that. In Psalm 13, beginning at about verse 5, I read these words yesterday as I was saturating. "But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me." Yes, I wrote these words now beside this verse. "God, you are good. Your goodness overwhelms all evil." So we need to remember this, Grayson, that even though it seems that evil is overtaken, we must know that God still sits at the controls and his goodness still overwhelms all the evil that we could ever experience or imagine.
Yes, Dad, and also we need to remember that this life is temporary. It will last only for a little bit, and then one day we will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ and the Father God and the Holy Spirit, and it'll all be worth it being faithful to him despite all the evil around us, not giving in to that, but staying faithful to God.
Yes, indeed. And as we're faithful, we can count on one thing. He will be faithful. I love that. The sense is that his faithfulness causes us to be faithful. And we realize that he can be trusted. And we want to prove trustworthy, even especially in the times when evil seems to be having its way, having its heyday. The psalmist in Psalm 19 starts to get more internal. And it starts to get real personal, very transparent, very vulnerable. As we read Psalm 19, verse 12 and verse 13, here are the words the psalmist is saying, praying to God. "How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin." And what I wrote out beside these two verses were these words, "Let me be controlled by your Holy Spirit, not my human tendencies." And so the psalmist gets very personal. He doesn't just talk about the evil that's lurking all around the outside of his life. He talks about an evil that would lurk in his own heart. And he doesn't want evil to find root in his own soul. And so he says, "How can I know? How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin." So we can be controlled, Grayson, by the Holy Spirit and not mere human tendencies. And this is great news for us. We come then to Psalm in chapter 20, and my heart was stopped at verse 4, where the psalmist says, "May God grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed." And I wrote out beside this, no surprise for anyone who knows me, but I wrote this prayer in response to David's prayer. David's prayer was, may God grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. My echo of that prayer is this. Give me, O Lord, the desires of my heart only if they are one and the same with the desires of your heart. And so, Grayson, when you think about that prayer, what might you want to add from your point of view?
Yes, Dad, certainly it's easy to ask God for things, but it's better as a Christian to ask God for things that are in accordance to His will. And certainly He knows what's best for us better than we know what's best for us. So a lot of times I tell the Lord, help me to want what you want for me, which is kind of rewording what you were saying about give me the desires of my heart only if they're one with the desires of your heart. And certainly I think God answers those type of prayers when we're seeking His will and His best for our lives.
That's right, Grayson. Good point. Good commentary. I'm moved by those words. And we want what He wants more than we want anything. It's a lot like the prayer that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And that is the very essence of that prayer that the psalmist was praying, and that prayer that I echoed in response to the prayer the psalmist is praying. Then also, I was following along a little further in that same chapter, Psalm 21. And Psalm 21, I was moved by verse 6. It says, you have endowed me with eternal blessings and given me the joy of your presence. And I'm telling you, friends, that's everything for me is the presence of God. And I wrote these words out beside David's words. I wrote, I desire above all else the joy of your presence. Oh, my Lord, let it be so. And so we want to know His presence. There is no greater present and no greater gift than the presence of God. And so I say amen to David as he writes these psalms, as he calls out to God that we have been given the joy of God's presence, and there is no greater gift than to have God Himself as the very essence of our lives. Not first place in our life, not the center of our life, not a part of our life, but our life. God wants to be our life, and His presence wants to take over our lives. We want to lose ourselves in His presence. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, yet Christ now lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Yesterday, I was speaking to my mother on the telephone. I call her Lady Melba. That was my dad's name for her. My dad was Captain Billy. My mom was Lady Melba. When I ordered their tombstone that sits now in the Virgie May Cemetery, Harkers Island, North Carolina, along the coast there, we got Dad's headstone done, and Mom went to get hers done at the same time. And so she let me design it totally. And on one side, I put Captain Billy Willis, and on the other side, Lady Melba Willis. And I called her Lady Melba because Dad always said she's a lady. And he named his trawler Lady Melba. So it's pretty special in our life. And so I stay in touch with my mom as often as possible. And yesterday she said to me just a beautiful line. She said, Carrie, I am the deadest person who ever lived. And I had to write it down. I put it out on my Twitter account immediately. I am the deadest person who ever lived. And what she was doing was she was embracing that word that Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, yet Christ now lives in me. And I said, Mom, I love that. And I want to be among the deadest people who ever lived, because that means the presence of God has taken over our lives, and we have lost our life in His life. And that, my friends, is the pinnacle of success in this life and in eternity to come. Anything you want to add there, Grayson?
I think that's a great perspective. Not that we're physically dead, but our will has died to Christ, as you mentioned, Paul says in Galatians 2:20, and it's not us that we're living for, but it's Christ that we're living for. It's not anything that we want to gain, only for Christ and His glory and the glory of His kingdom do we live. And that's because He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. That's why we live our lives for Him. So to say we're the deadest people alive, it sounds like an oxymoron, but in all reality, those who live for Christ will be the ones that will live most, because we're the ones that will have eternity forever.
Exactly. The ones who have died to self-centeredness are the ones that are most alive on this planet. There is no doubt about that. I said to our congregation here one Sunday, I pastor the Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. We'd invite you, if you don't have a home church, to come visit us sometime. We have services every Sunday in English at 9 o'clock and 10:30, and also at 11:45 for Spanish-speaking friends. But I would like to say you're invited. And one day I said to our congregation, I said, I don't have a life anymore. And about half the congregation looked very sad about that. And I said, oh, don't be sad for me. Be glad for me. I just want you to know that I no longer have a life, but I have the life of Christ as my own. And this is what David was talking about when he said, you have given me the joy of your presence. Well, we're going to close this edition today of Front Porch Talks. And we pray that today has been a half hour of hope for your life. We'll continue these thoughts in part two next Sunday. So join us here at noon on WBTX. God bless, and remember, His presence is everything.
We also pray that today's program inspires you not just to read the Psalms, but also to pray the Psalms. Here's our friend Kim McLean with her song, In His Presence.
In His presence, fullness of joy, at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine, I am His and He is mine. In His presence, fullness of joy. In His presence, fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine, I am His and He is mine. In His presence, fullness of joy. Oh, what fellowship.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.